Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Job. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing in our study of the book of Job. We have found here in chapter 38 that God has begun speaking to Job. After a long silence while Job's friends and Job were debating all these questions about God and God's relationship to man, God shows up. Well, God had been there all the time. God had heard all of the arguments, all of the fallacies, all of the mistakes that were made, all of the sensible and nonsensical things that had been said. Job had uttered many things that were not true, just as the four friends had uttered many things that were not true. However, we noticed in those conversations up through chapter 38 that there were a number of truths that were given, but many times the truths were in the wrong place, mentioned at the wrong time. We human beings have a terrible sense of timing. We also have a terrible lack of understanding when it comes to things that have to do with Almighty God. That's why in the book of Job we're taught so much about God and what he does as he relates to human beings. You see, this book is foundational when we understand the truth of the redemption that's ours through Jesus Christ. Commentators have told us that the book of Job has a special place, a special presentation, if you will, portraying Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. And here God is speaking, beginning in chapter 38. And we have made it through all of the conversation of human beings to get to the truth. And the truth is presented by the one true and living God, Jehovah, Father God, God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And he speaks. We're at verse 23, having just come through the portion of Scripture where God is asking Job, can you understand the common things, such as snow, hail, wind, rain, lightning, frost, ice? Can you understand the things of the weather? And the answer is no, he cannot. Verse 23, God continues. Let's begin at 22, so we put it in context. Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? By what way is the light parted, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a watercourse for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder, to cause it to rain on the earth where no man is, on the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and waste ground, to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Now we've gone from the water and the things of the earth to verse 31 and 32, where we have mention here of the movements of the constellations in the heavens. Can you control or determine the movements of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Can you move these constellations? Can you show us where to move them next? Can you bring forth Maseroth, another one of the constellations, or canst you guide Arcturus with his sons? Arcturus is a large, bright star, constellation, if you will, that was mentioned in Job chapter 9, verse 9, as I turn back there. In Job 9, 9, the constellation is mentioned. And as I told you, there's much to be learned about God's science even in the book of Job. And we see here that God is saying, can you move these? Can you even determine where they're going? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? The ordinances of heaven, of course, being the boundaries that are set, the rules by which the stars move, the universe is governed. Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up thy voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Can you say to the clouds, rain, and it rains? Men have been trying to do that for the time from creation on, trying to have some dealing with the water that would force the rain when you want the rain. We can give weather forecasts, and we're not necessarily very good at that as human beings. If you want to know what it's not going to do, listen to the weather forecast. Or if you want to know what it may do, listen to the weather forecast. It's often been said that if weather forecasts were considered to be prophets and they were living in the Old Testament, they would have been stoned, because prophets that gave forth a prophecy that was not clear and was not correct and did not come true were to be stoned as false prophets. It's a science and an art to forecast the weather. Here he asks the question, can you call up to the clouds and have rain come down just by your talking to the clouds? The answer is no. Canst thou send lightnings that they may go and say unto thee, here we are? So you speak and the lightnings happen? No, it doesn't work. Now this is God showing Job that he has little, in fact, no control over the things that God has placed to assist humankind. He has no way to control the weather. He has no way to control what we consider to be so-called natural surroundings. That means the creation that God has made. He's showing Job how little control, how little ability to influence that he really has. When we get down to it, and this is something for us to consider as we're looking here in Job 38, when we get to the nubs of life, when we get to the things of life there are very few, if any, things that we have control over. There are a lot of things that we have an influence over. A lot of people, perhaps, we have an influence over. But there are very few things, if any, that we control. I might set an appointment to do something, but I may never make that appointment because I might get ill. Someone else in the family might get ill and need my attention. I might pass away. I might have something more important come up. I might be stalled by a car that doesn't run, or I might have overslept and missed the appointment. There are lots of things that could happen. No matter how hard I would try, I do not have control even over a simple thing as an appointment. I have an influence on people and on their lives. I have an influence upon certain things. I can influence the food that I eat by cooking it. But I don't even control my food reserves, if you know what I'm talking about. I can't force the grocery store to sell me what I want to eat at a price I want to pay. I have no control over that. When we realize how little control we have, even though we may have influences, when we realize truly our lack of control, then we can trust in an almighty God. No, it's not fatalism, and nor should it be. In fact, it is faith. When we come to the end of ourselves and realize how little it matters what we think. When we come to the end of ourselves and realize that nobody really cares to hear from us unless it's a specific thing they're asking about. Oh my. It's difficult, isn't it, for us to keep our tongue, to be silent when we should be silent? Oh, it's difficult for me. And I think it's probably difficult for you as well. You are a human being, aren't you? We share that together. And here, God is showing Job his limitations. I mean, really, his limitations. You can't do anything about the weather. You can't do anything about the rain. You can't do anything about the snow. So he goes from the things of weather and the things of outside items to inward. And he's going to be going to cause us in this conversation to look inward. Even as we look at the skies, we look inward and we see our limitations. Now, verse 36, who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who hath given understanding to the heart? Here we look inward. How have we gained the wisdom, ever how big or ever how small, ever how much or how little, how have we gained the wisdom that is within us? How have we gained an understanding? Well, you say, well, it's through life. I've lived a long life. I've lived a full life. I've spent my time learning things. Yes, you have, but you've had a very short life. No matter how long your life is, it's woefully short. And who's put the wisdom inside of you? Who's given you understanding so you can even think? God has, of course. And this is God telling Job, you have nothing within yourself or of yourself to boast in. Nothing. Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bottles of heaven? When the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods cleave fast together. How can you bring the clouds together when you're having a drought? You can't. Who can cause it to rain? Nobody. Who can withhold the rain? Nobody. Not in the natural, not in the human. Now, does that mean science has not been able to seed clouds? No, science can. Can science try to put air currents into motion to move clouds out of the way? Yep, science can do that. Human beings can do that through scientific effort, through mechanical means, through some sort of technology. Is it successful 100% of the time? No, it's very limited in its success. Man does not have the control that God has, because man is not God. Man is puny, small, limited, without strength, whereas God is almighty. Now we go into a confrontation by God of Job about the animal life in verse 39. God will confront Job all the way through chapter 39, verse 30. It'll be the mysteries, the hidden things, the secrets, if you will, of animals. And this is God making Job even more aware of his ignorance. God makes Job more aware of his inability to be a competent judge of the works of God. Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions? When they couch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait, who provideth for the raven his food? When his young ones cry unto God, they wander for lack of meat. Do you feed the lion? Do you feed the young lions? Do you feed the raven? Do you feed the young ravens? Verse 1 of 39, knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth? Or canst thou mark when the hinds do calve, C-A-L-V-E, meaning the hinds are giving birth? And so can you mark when the deer give birth? Canst thou number the months that they fulfill, or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? They bow themselves, they bring forth their young ones, they cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking, they grow up with corn, and they go forth and return not unto them. Who hath set out the wild ass free? Or who hath loosed the bands of the wild ass? Whose house I have made the wilderness, and the barren land his dwellings. He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth he the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searcheth after every green thing. Now, in these verses, we see the wild ass, not the donkey, not the domesticated donkey, that's for sure, but this is a more rithe animal that is considered to be very graceful and fleet of foot and able to jump upon the hills and the crags, as well as being in other areas. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searcheth after every green thing. Canst thou bind the unicorn with his band in the furrow, or will he harrow the valleys after thee? Wilt thou trust him because his strength is great, or wilt thou leave thy labor to him? Wilt thou believe him, and he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? Gavest thou the goodly wings to the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them? She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? The questions keep coming.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.